Okay, so welcome again, everybody. It's dark, huh? It's darkish. So it's good to practice together. It's good to be here. We're exploring this quality of adhidhana or resolve, resolution. And it's a little bit of a tricky one, I think. So this quality is, I was here last week and can be translated a few different ways as commitment, as determination, as decisiveness, right? And these are qualities in general that we tend to admire or that tend to get a lot of praise, maybe in our work lives or oftentimes there's a lot of emphasis on being decisive, being determined, knowing what you're committed to, staying on track. So I think often in our practice, we're more trying to bring to the fore qualities like patience, yeah, qualities like kindness. But this kind of resolve, I think we can come to understand as being firm without being rigid, as being committed without being stubborn, and most of all, being discerning about what it is that we're giving our attention, energies, and commitment towards. So I think we have to be a little bit careful with cultivating this quality of resolve that we don't find ourselves getting very tense, tight, and fixated on where it is that we think we should be going. It's not at all meant to do that. All of these qualities point towards freedom from clinging, from suffering. And they're also natural human qualities and capacities that are present in every human life. So we're meant to get acquainted with them, familiar with them, understand them. So since I spoke about this last week, it's hard to do a recap. I have a hard time with recaps. But what I'd like to do is just do maybe a short touching back in to some of the themes from last week. And then give more of a chance for you all to talk with each other and ask questions. So as I was thinking about how to be very succinct in my retouching where we went last week, I was remembering what often comes to mind around resolve is this quote in the middle-length discourses of the Buddha, the early teachings, where he makes this statement, and this is right before his full awakening. And this is said to speak to the firmness of his resolve or the strength of his resolve. So, though skin, sinews, and bones wither away, though flesh and blood of my body dry up, I shall not give up my efforts until I have attained whatever is attainable by perseverance, energy, and endeavor. Okay. So last week we talked a little bit about little phrases that can remind us of our commitment and our resolve. And so this phrase or these words of the Buddha feel to me like this, like come what may. Yeah. Come what may. Whatever happens, I'm committed to a path of some kind. So again, we have to be careful. You might just notice how your system responds to these words. What does it bring up for you? Like, not quite ready to let my bones wither here at the University Friends meeting house on a Monday night. So just to kind of notice what that brings up for you. But how I translate that for myself. And it's important to remember that when the Buddha was at this point, this had come after a long series of explorations, of hits and misses, right? Of realizing, oh, this actual teaching doesn't lead quite where I thought it was. Of being committed to teachers and then realizing that that wasn't right. So this comes after a lot of exploration and trial and error, and a lot of confidence in the capacity of awareness to understand and know what's actually true. So how I kind of understand that as clearly and succinctly as possible is, I will stay the course. I will stay the course as best I'm able with awareness, wisdom, and love. Isn't that pretty much hit all the points? I will stay the course as best I'm able with awareness, wisdom, and love. Yeah. So this resolve or adhidhamma really has it's the capacity that allows us to stay with what we're committed to stay the course, but in a certain kind of way, with discernment, with awareness, and with a lot of kindness and compassion, so with love. Right. So that's the kind of pith essence of what I want to talk about tonight. So as I mentioned last time, resolve really helps support all of the other parami, all of the other qualities. Right? We can't cultivate anything without resolve. Yeah. So a quality like generosity, so Ajahn Suchito talks about resolve as the support of all of the other parami. So all of the parami are values and virtues. So when we cultivate something like generosity, when we decide, this is what I want to kind of study, commit to, explore for a while, we commit to putting something like generosity or kindness or truthfulness at the center for a little while. And we get a feel for it somatically, we get a sense of it, and we get to see where is it easy, where is it difficult, what supports it, what weakens it, what seems close to generosity, and what is its opposite. So it takes a lot of commitment to examine in this way. Yeah. It goes against a lot of our habits, our automatic responses and reactions. But when we commit to cultivate, or when we resolve on generosity or resolve on kindness, we also get to meet its opposite. Yeah. Generosity, we get to meet all the places we're kind of stingy and where we would rather not offer. With kindness, we get to meet all of our places of judgment or ill will. So it takes a continual kind of renewal or a refreshing of our commitment again and again, so that when the quality kind of matures or develops, it is a fuller, deeper, more embodied quality than it was at the beginning. So all of this practice of parami is like moving from the realm of an idea, what's a nice idea, Oh, yeah, I'd like a little more kindness. I'd like some more honesty to, as we move through its opposite, especially, it becomes a fuller, richer, deeper, more embodied sense. Yeah. So this is how it kind of supports the other parami in going against or crossing over that flood of conditioning. So in the end, resolve is the commitment to remember awareness, right? To remember awareness and to actually practice and cultivate with everything, to use everything. To not bemoan or resent our circumstances. So we may dislike them, they may be unpleasant, we may need to grieve or actually change things about our circumstances. But when we are committed to using everything as practice, we discover strengths and capacities we didn't know we had. So the cue is that when we feel ourselves wavering and floundering and tossed around, our previous resolve can come to the fore, and we can feel that happen. Right? We can feel that arise from the strength of our previous commitment. So when we're floundering and confused and wavering, we can remember in that moment, like, now, is it possible to be aware in this moment? Is it possible to notice what's happening in this heart, this mind? Yeah. So as Rodney used to say often, is there love for this too? Yeah. Is there kind understanding for this too? So all of the prompts and the phrases and the reminders that we use don't make the difficulty vanish. Yeah, they don't make all the problems go away, but they are reminders to remember our resources, and they help grow our capacity to be with a wider range of circumstances. Okay, so Kim Allen, teacher, talks about resolve as a stance of humble determination. Yeah. Stance of humble determination. So it's determined because we're committed, but it's humble because we don't know what's going to happen next. Yeah. It's not a demand that everything bend to our desires and wishes. It's not to say that everything is known and it's a sure bet. It's humble, and that we're actually committing to being changed by something. Yeah. We undertake the practice of any parami, we're committing to actually being changed by it, to being affected by it. Okay, so last week I mentioned several phrases that we can bring to mind that just help bring that quality forward. So we can resolve to begin anything. We can resolve to begin, we can resolve to continue, and we can resolve to remember our deepest aspiration or commitment, kind of our highest possibility for practice. So I also mentioned surrendering your complaint. Yeah? Surrendering your complaint. And this ability that we have to use everything as practice, as fuel for the path. And of course, that phrase of kindness, as best I'm able. I may have the widest, deepest intention, and I will commit to it as best I'm able. So this kindness bit is very, very important. Okay, so again, as we continue to explore the quality, We want to get a feel for it. We want to know where it arises naturally, what weakens it, what supports it, what is its opposite, right? But somatically, as we consider it, it has this felt sense of firmness, right? This felt sense of firmness without being rigid, right? And we can feel when we're really committed and to some degree have surrendered our complaint, there's a kind of clarity and relief that comes with that. Right? So I had mentioned that when my early years of retreat practice, in the tradition that I was practicing in, we would have sittings that were called sittings of strong determination. So these aditana sittings, in which we committed for an hour not to move a muscle. Yeah, not to move hands or legs or arms, not to twitch, not to open eyes at all. So if you happen to open your eyes in one of those sittings, there would be a teacher staring at you. So first response was always, you know, my eyes would immediately close and like, just gotten in trouble, you know, clamming up. These sittings of strong determination. So these were so challenging in so many ways and brought up so much resistance, resisted them with every fiber of my being. And yet there was still a deep learning in that. So at some point in that hour, there were many hours where I was just fighting it the whole time. But there were some times at which the commitment to be there would overtake the resistance. And there was just a deep inward softening. Okay, I have to be here for an hour. There's no escape. Pema Chodron has this wonderful book, The Wisdom of No Escape. When there's really no escape, what do? You have to find a way to soften and be with that. Yeah, find a way to soften and be with that. So oftentimes we're pushing, and then there's there can be a sense of relinquishment or letting go into that commitment. This is the kind of surrendering your complaint. Okay, I'm going to be here no matter what. How can I soften as fully as possible? How can I be here in as compassionate and kind a way as possible? And that's not to say that there aren't ever times to change our circumstances, to change our posture. Of course there are. But just in those times when we're against the wall, we can find a greater capacity growing in ourselves to meet that. We have to find a way to meet that. So what I found over time, I don't practice in that way anymore, but what I found over time as I have explored practice in my own way was that rather than a structure that was kind of encouraged or kind of set up from the outside, that as I explored my mind in a variety of other circumstances, there was gradually the understanding of, oh, actually, it's kinder to come back, right? Instead of, I've got to be here, making it a chore, I've got to do this, I've got to buckle down, there's no way out of this. To be able to explore the fluctuations of the mind and see, oh, it's actually kinder to come back. It's kinder to stay. It's kinder to know what's happening. then the practice can really become your own. It became my own. And so the determination had a very different feel. Yeah, it wasn't like whipping myself into shape or getting myself in line, but really that sense that this is the direction of kindness and wisdom, understanding. So it has that feel of firmness, yeah, but also of kindness, of softening. And often what supports it are structures from the outside, right? But we can set up structures of accountability that are kind, that keep us engaged with our resolve. So when we come to a sangha like this, nobody is keeping you from fleeing the room when it gets uncomfortable, right? Nobody is keeping you from curling up in a ball on the floor and going to sleep. But there is some, along with the deep support of sangha and shared intention, there is some kind of accountability or some kind of commitment that we feel when we're in a group, right? So sometimes when I'm with people online and a lot of people have turned their videos off, I'll encourage, and there are many good reasons to turn your video off, not saying that that's wrong or bad in any way, but sometimes as a kind of an experiment in resolve, can I leave my video on and let myself be seen no matter what? No matter what happens? Whole new set of arisings come forward. So there are structures that help support our commitments. So those can be phrases and reminders. Those can be other people in terms of kind accountability, shared intention. But we need support and we need reminders. I also mentioned last time that what supports is this sense of wholesome desire. Sometimes this is called chanda, but it's the energy that moves in the direction of what's helpful, what's most helpful for us. So sometimes we can think about this as our deepest aspiration that I mentioned at the beginning. Bringing this to mind and refreshing this can also help support our resolve. We can feel ourselves in the stream of something that's going in a helpful direction. Yeah. And we can hopefully feel that possibility of deeper freedom. So again, that this sense of aspiration or chanda, wholesome desire, isn't fixating on a goal. So we can feel when our wholesome motivation, that sense of uplift, that firmness, but with a sense of uplift in our possibility, turns into a kind of checking in on our progress. Like, am I there yet? Am I doing it right yet? I'm just about there when it feels tense and tight and we get preoccupied and fixated on a goal. We can feel that difference. Okay. All right. So, what gets in the way or what weakens our resolve? We can ask that question as we're exploring this quality. We can ask, so I'm offering suggestions, but we can ask, what does, when I'm firmly and lovingly committed to something, what does it feel like? Yeah. What's the felt sense of that? What supports it? What strengthens it? What weakens it or erodes it? So I notice in my own practice, often what weakens it is taking in too many kind of competing interests or demands from people around me and losing my center. Yeah. So also forgetting to check in with how is this actually, how is it now for me actually? What is actually arising? So I had a pretty early on in my practice, I had a meeting, practice meeting with Kamala Masters, a wonderful teacher in this tradition. She gives these beautiful talks on patience, right? I feel like she's on many things, but I can feel like for me, she's the embodiment of patience. And so I was really struggling at that point in my practice with my commitment, because I noticed that even though I had a really strong, firm commitment, it would start to kind of evaporate when I was around other people who didn't share that commitment, right? So get a lot of kind of pushback or resistance from other people who didn't really understand what I was doing. And a lot of my relationships were changing. Relationships that were built up around something else. As I was getting more committed to practice, they were shifting and a lot of them were falling away. And it was challenging. So I asked her what to do about this with the idea that she would respond with something like, with some encouragement to be patient. Yeah, just be patient. And she responded by saying, just keep going, which was the... She said, but keep going as though your hair is on fire. Right? And this is an image from the early teachings. You know, practice as though your hair is on fire. Yeah? It's like, this isn't a patience teaching. This is, what would you do? Just keep going, but as though your hair is on fire. So, your hair is on fire. There's a willingness to do anything. It's kind of a willingness to do anything in order to put out that fire. Yeah. So anyway, we could go far with that analogy. But with resolve, there is this commitment, like based on discernment, based on love, to do anything to extinguish or to diminish, to help alleviate this persistent sense of suffering. So not to say that this has to be your aspiration or aim, but when our resolve is really ignited, there's a sense that we will do anything. Right? Come what may, we're willing to walk through any kind of form of resistance in order to deepen, in order to understand, in order to move in the direction of our commitment. So this can lead us into some very uncomfortable places, but the sense of resolve is really, may I continue? May I continue no matter what? No matter what, with as best I'm able, with wisdom and discernment. So the opposite that we meet is getting stuck in wavering, right? Our inability to commit, to decide, to remember what's important. We might have an idea, Ajahn Sucitto talks about this, we might have an idea of freedom as keeping our options open and not committing to anything, not being responsible to anything, just having our options wide open. And but with this kind of attitude, we won't have a full sense of what we're capable of. Yeah. We'll be drug around by a lot of competing interests, by a lot of competing desires and impulses. And there's a kind of apathy or complacency that can set in. So the opposite really has this complacency or wavering. We're not able to rally our energies in the direction of our values. The kind of quality that's close to resolve, but not quite it, that can mimic it or look like it, is stubborn determination or grim duty, right? Get the feel? The stubborn determination is we completely lose our sensitivity or our porous or our openness. It's just, I've decided that this is the right way. And so there is that sense of come what may, but there's a lot of harm that's being caused in the pursuit of that. We lose our capacity to take in what's true in the moment. We lose our discernment around what's harmful and what isn't. It's just a stubborn unwillingness to yield. So I hope you can kind of feel the difference in that. With grim duty, it might not be so overtly harmful. We might have a full sense of our responsibility, and we can kind of trudge along. Yeah, well, I did this because I said I would, and here I am, and I'm showing up, but there's a heavy kind of burdensome quality to it. Yeah, I'm the responsible one. Right? And in that, we've also kind of lost our alignment. What is actually serving the deepest well-being of myself and others? Yeah. We've kind of lost our juice and our deepest aspiration, our commitment, our connection to that energy. Yeah. So we can feel that kind of stubbornness and inflexibility on the one hand that comes from a lot of aversion. It comes from a lot of aversion. Okay, and on the other hand, on that kind of grim duty, we've lost our aspiration, our energy. Okay. So just this is some form of a recap, but wanting to get a full sense of the quality as we explore it. So our fullest resolve, our fullest commitment is never to a specific teacher, no matter how wise or skillful. It's never to a specific person, one teaching, one technique. Those are all helpful structures and supports. But our commitment in the end is to be open to everything, to learn from everything, to keep our deepest values in mind. Okay. So this statement that I mentioned at the beginning, I will stay the course. Yeah. I will stay the course as best I'm able with awareness, with wisdom, and with love. Okay, so why don't we just sit quietly for a moment with that? So it's the quality of wisdom that can discern what's helpful when. how we're using our energies and our efforts in support of our aspiration, when to push on, when to hang back. And it's the love or compassion aspect that can open even when it's difficult or hard, that cares about the suffering, challenge. So this, again, is from Ajahn Suchito. Over time, my resolve energy has simplified and calmed to one of sustaining the attitude, may this action or thought be for my welfare and the welfare of others. May this lead to peace. Compared with the more extreme practices, such a resolve doesn't make the headlines, but it acts as a life commitment and a basis for action, inquiry, and insight. This resolve doesn't make a self out of intention or results. It just holds experience carefully and lets it pass through and dissolve. This is beautiful and selfless. The self doesn't do it, Parami does. In this way, when resolve widens through compassion and wisdom into self-surrender, we can liberate all the beings that arise in consciousness. Whether they arise internally or externally, we work to free them from aversion, indulgence, indifference, and identification. May our resolve open us to the great heart that crosses the floods. May our resolve open us to the great heart that crosses the floods. Okay, so I'd like to give us a chance to talk with each other about this quality. So this is really where it kind of comes alive in your own experience. So this is also a place for resolve. So this tends to be where a lot of times where people drop off or leave. So I just encourage you to just stay, if it's possible to stay, and invite you into groups of three. Right. So those online will be invited into a small room with two others, and those here, groups of three-ish. And this is, again, an opportunity not to have to perform in any way or say anything profound, have anything figured out, perform your practice at all. This is a place to kind of contemplate out loud, to like meditate, recollect, reflect out loud. So what I'd like you to speak about is this quality of commitment. See if in your own experience you can get a sense of when it is helpful, when does it allow this kind of firmness, this directedness in the service of what we value, and when does it become tight, fixated on a goal, kind of more in the direction of striving and perhaps creating harm. So where do you experience it as a support, this ability to say, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm committed to, may I continue with this? Right. So see if you can explore both of these versions of it. All right. Also, this is just a starting place. So you can also wherever it takes you is fine. And I like to encourage, so people online, if you're going to join a group, please, when you are in a group, please turn your video on if you can. If you can't, it's really helpful if you can unmute and just explain why that might not be possible. Maybe it's an internet connection or something happening, but it's really helpful to feel as though this person you're speaking to is fully engaged and with you. All right, so give everybody, each person a chance to speak. You can allow yourself as many pauses or just kind of dropping back into your own experience as you'd like. And we'll come back together in, about 12 minutes. Let's go about 12 minutes. So we'll come back about 8:42, okay? Give each person a chance, and then we'll have a chance in the large group together for a few minutes. All right. Okay, so those in the room, just turn towards. So around you, you can introduce yourself. Okay, good. Good, good. So that was lively in here. I don't know if it was lively at home for you all. I'd love to hear if anyone's willing. What was it like to contemplate this together, speak together about this? What did you notice? Yeah, please.
I'll just be real quick, and I'll speak for my own.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
But just the idea that, you know, we're all here doing this, we're talking about it, but and it's really clumsy at times, right? And my whole experience, we're going to trip and fall, but the resolve is that we're kind of open, we're trying to do it with heart, we're trying to do it with wisdom, and just keep it up. So.
That's right. Yeah. But I like the word clumsy. I can relate to that a lot.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think about, toddlers when they're learning to walk, you know, they're clumsy, but completely endearing in their clumsiness, you know, and we don't resent them for falling and tripping and needing to get back up. It's like we're fully, aligned with their developmental process. So we might get frustrated, but it's the clumsiness is part of the development. Yeah. So thanks. Good. Yeah, please. Thank you. And then a couple of people at home, I'd love to hear.
So it was really interesting discussing with this group that even though we're all in very different stages of life and our journeys have been very, very different, the felt sense of the way and the right way, or the, like, when things settle and the rightness arises, is the same. Mm-hmm. And that was really great to hear about their experiences with that.
Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. So, Eileen?
Good afternoon or evening where you are. Lovely to be with you folks. I have to admit that, can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When I hear that quotation of the Buddha, you know, that he's going to sit no matter what, I feel like, oh man, I'm nowhere near that stage, so maybe I'm a failure. But just trying to do what I can. I was telling people in my group, I just want to speak for myself, that's why. It seems easier for me with resolve to pick something particular to be resolved about, like the Four Noble Truths or the wise effort. So I was sharing that I love that in Ajahn Suchido's book here, Parami, he teaches us to turn the Four Noble Truths into questions and say, you know, am I suffering? Yes. What's causing it? Well, I just don't feel like forgiving that jerk who did whatever. Okay, so I'm mad. And is there a way to bring this suffering to an end? Yes. I'm not being mindful of the anger. I'm in it. And so, you know, some mindfulness of the anger and some, you know, I want to protect myself from somebody's harmfulness, but, you know, being mad at him for a long time is not really helping. So somehow to have something specific like that that I can do helps me more than to think, resolve, which is a little bit too grand for me right now. But thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Eileen. Yeah. And I love the practice of turning things into inquiry questions, because there's so much aliveness in that. And as we're contemplating different qualities, that's kind of what we're doing as well with the Parami. We're taking one quality a month and asking questions about it and noticing how it arises. And so the resolve isn't a demand that things always be this way, but it's really a resolve to notice, to explore, to understand more deeply. But I think you're right that it can help to have specific, concrete qualities or ways to explore that.
Eileen, thank you for sharing that. Would you repeat the author of that book again?
It's Ajahn Suchito's book, Parami.
Ajahn Suchi?
Yep, and it's actually, if you go on the Seattle Insight website, it's one of the books many of us are drawing from this month. So okay. It's listed on there as well. It's a downloadable ebook, so you can get it in digital format. It's a little bit harder to come by the actual physical book these days, but
thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Okay. And Judith? Yeah. Hi, Judith.
Hi. So the word that stood out for me was discernment. Because I'm in the stubborn, determination, grim category. I'm extremely good at being really goal-oriented. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's more a case of softening a bit, not leaning forward so much, and being present with the process of it. And also being able to discern, is whatever I'm doing, is it really a benefit? Is it really worth doing? Because I have a tendency to say, okay, I'm going to do this, whatever it is, and then I'm going to stick to it by God, and it doesn't matter, you know? So, yeah, so that's where I'm at. And so I really picked up on that word, discernment.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah. So I like to use wisdom and discernment kind of interchangeably. So sometimes discernment is a little bit, it feels like I can get more of a sense of it when I think of discerning. Mm-hmm. Wisdom can feel a bit grand sometimes. but discernment, another quality that we can develop. Yeah. Great. Those are wonderful questions. Okay. Is there something, Adam? Yeah.
So one of the things that came up in our group and that you touched on too is that when resolve feels kind of natural and fluid and easy, it seems for me like it always comes with the like felt sense of Shonda, of like a north arrow. It's like, oh, this is the direction that I want to go, and it's like I'm being pulled that way, and the resolve comes more naturally. It's easy to see. Whereas when Shonda is hard to find or not present, I tend towards that grim duty. You know, it's like, I know I committed to this, and so I'm here, I'm going to do this thing. And we were kind of musing, like, God, wouldn't it be great if you could just dial up Shonda and be like, hey, like, I know you're not here right now. Can you come make this a little more fluid for me? And, but of course it doesn't quite work that way. And, but it's interesting to know that, or to sense when that's happening and to know that, like, okay. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think? Like, my instinct is like connect back with, intention and like try to sense back into intention. But what do you think? How do you dial Shonda?
Yeah. And I don't, you know, it's not that everything has to feel great and inspired all the time. I think that's an unrealistic expectation. But if we notice we're continually getting sucked into, we're continually in that place of grim duty, you know, oftentimes we can appreciate the ability of resolve to carry us into things that sometimes we would rather not be doing, you know? I remember for longer than I'd care to admit, teaching for me was like walking the plank, you know, like every single time it was like walking the plank. So to expect that I would feel like inspired and completely inspired all the time when I was going against some really strong conditioning in that moment. So what I could fall back on was appreciating the strength of my kind of commitment or intention in that moment, kind of the no matter what quality, like willing to be here no matter what. I may not feel inspired by this, but I may be getting a lot of pushback from this, but falling back on or bringing my attention back to my heartfelt commitment to what I was doing, even though it wasn't an uplift, right? So if we're but that wasn't quite grim duty. So if we're continually finding ourselves in grim duty, we might, yeah, do some more inquiry into what's really driving this. Yeah, what's really at the heart of this? It's most important. Yeah.
What is Shonda?
Oh, and sorry. So Shonda is that like heartfelt, sometimes it's translated as zeal. So it's wholesome desire, wholesome motivation. I think of it as kind of sparking our energy, especially in the beginning. It's good at inspiring us to initiate or to get started at something. But it can also inspire a kind of inquiry. But, you know, all of these things come together with kind of a balance also. So sometimes there's just a quality of patience that's needed. And that patience can turn into grim endurance, but it can also just be, I'm willing to be here with this. Yeah. Doesn't feel deeply energetic or inspired, but I'm willing to be here with this. So. Okay. All right. So maybe one more quick comment and then we'll close. So Mike, yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of us just in our group appreciated the reminder. As you said, it's kinder to come back. How ultimately, if we do commit to the path, it is for our benefit and for the benefit of others, as opposed to mere striving and gruesome toil. So I appreciate that juxtaposition.
Yeah. And I think we learn that by trial and error, you know, like no one can explain that to us. I think we learn that by trying and falling over again and again, right? So that's part of the process. Yeah, thank you. Thanks. All right. Thank you, everybody. Really appreciate your willingness to engage with this and also to be open and contemplate together, share together. Also, always appreciate your reflection on Dana. So teachings are always freely offered without expectation or pressure. And at the same time, anything you are moved to offer to support my livelihood and to support Seattle Insight is warmly welcomed. Very, very warmly welcomed. So appreciate your reflection on that. Okay, we will call it for tonight. So go well, and may we all continue to walk this path, continue on this path with wisdom, kindness, and awareness to stay the course together. Okay, good. Thanks, everybody. Hey.